You will find the goat died where old never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And a certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. Amen. That was what he told them to say. The master hath need of him. You going to help me preach a while tonight? And they let him go. I don't know what he was talking to the fellow that owned that colt. Amen. But it didn't matter. He said the magic words when he said the master had need of him. Then they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. You will notice he didn't send him out to the horse farm to be trained or broke. Amen. It said they cast the garment on him and the Son of God climbed on him. And many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God, help me tonight. I want to preach to you a while on a long journey with a wild donkey. Amen. A long journey with a wild donkey. Praise God. Quite profound it is when you read and study what we've read tonight at first glimpse. It just looks like another story in the Bible. In fact, a very insignificant story is that, involving a colt or a little donkey. But as you begin to analyze it, it goes quite deep, I'll have you know. Amen. I don't think anything the Son of God did was without reason. I don't think that anything that he did was without purpose or without example. I believe that everything he did, it laid a design. That in the ages that would follow, it would say something about his character. Aren't you glad he was always in control? Aren't you glad nothing ever got out of control when he was around and he was calling the shots? I'm glad for Jesus tonight, aren't you? I said, I'm glad for Jesus tonight, aren't you? But you know what? We can stay here tonight, amen, until tomorrow morning and shout the praises of God and how much we're glad to know Jesus. We sang several songs tonight about the blood, and I felt the joy of the blood because I've been washed in it, by the way. Hallelujah. We talked about being born again. And I'm glad I wasn't an outsider looking in. I'm glad I was on the inside looking out. I'm glad May the 9th, 1969, I was born again in an old-fashioned holiness church. Amen. Up in the mountains of Virginia. And I got it good enough. It's been with me ever since then. We sang songs about heaven and the joys of the Lord and the things that are good. Amen. And for all of us that are a part of them, it's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you tonight what breaks my heart into. And it is the multiplied millions that are plunging headlong down the wrong road, headed to indestruction and a hell and a calamity where there is no hope and there is no remedy. And there is no exit, and there is no returning. I was talking, I think, to Brother Byrd's brother last night about eternity. And I said to him, I said, Brother, think about this. The name of a man being blotted out. He said, explain what you mean. I said, in other words, oh, I'm feeling that wheel in the wheel again tonight. I said, in other words, amen, in the God's book of records, where the name of every man, I believe, is kept, when he is cast into outer darkness, I believe they turn and block that name out of God's record book forever. Amen. But the horrible and And miserable thing about it is that it doesn't cease existing. Imagine that setting tonight. There is a soul that will never die, breathing in the flames of hell and the agony and the misery of it all. Oh, God, help me preach tonight. Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, where the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and forever. They'll have eyes, they'll have fingers, they'll have arms, they'll have legs. They will be a living soul. Amen. But as far as God is concerned, he'll never look their way again. Somebody say amen. All the anthems of heaven began, and the mighty choruses of praise that will ring throughout the hills of glory will lift as a chorus of God's worst. Blood-washed saints begin to praise his name while the endless ages roll. Amen. But listen to me. Out of the memory of every saint of God will be those that lost their hope and failed to make it. Out of the mind of God will be the memory of all those that rejected his call, and he cast them into outer darkness. And while the golden street and the shores of glory ring the praise of eternal hope, there will be multitudes. I said multitudes that are rolling in the throes of hell. God will never look their way again. There'll never be another revival. There'll never be another message. There'll never be another song. There'll never be another plea. There'll never be another altar invitation. Nobody will sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Nobody will sing and rejoice. There'll be no of hell forever. Raise your hands and praise the Lord tonight. What I ought to do is repeat all of that again, because I don't think you got what I said. Existing but yet not existing. Because you see, without the hope of God, you do not live. You may be alive and you may have a job and you may go from place to place and ride your car and have a family, but without God, you're not living. Hear what I'm telling you. You're already a resident of hell. You're already a resident of a place where there is no hope. They've already got your place reserved. You're living in death outside of Jesus Christ. Somebody help me preach tonight. I said you're living in death outside of Jesus Christ. He is life. He is hope. And he is living and he is joy. A million sermons on end tonight could not preach to you or describe to you the horrible thought of lost souls, the horrible thought of a hell where there's no remedy, the horrible thought for everybody that's there is there for good. The only reprieve I can find in the Bible, and I'm feeling like preaching, the only reprieve I can find in the Bible, amen, is when they're taken out and presented at the great white throne judgment. But the verdict is already decided. The fact they're in hell means they're going back to hell. Oh, somebody help me tonight. I want to tell you, brother and sister, God told me to come here and tell you, if there's ever been a time that we got a burden for the lost and the dying and those that are going to hell, we ought to get it now. If we ever prayed, it's time to pray now. If we ever fasted, it's time to fast now. If we ever held on, it's time to hold on now. If we ever told the world about Jesus, it's time to do it now. If we ever had a revival to win the lost, it's time that we do it now. Hell has enlarged herself
to accept the wicked. Millions are on their way now.
Yeah, somebody say amen. Yeah.
In our day, preaching on hell isn't very popular. That's because the world lives like hell. That's because the world don't want to be reminded of where they're going. And God help me, a lot of the church world's in the same boat. That's why they don't want you to preach holiness. That's why they don't want you to tell them about the way they're living. But I want to tell you what God dealt with my heart today. Said, preacher, go up there and tell them that it's time somebody got somebody in the hands of the Master. You see, I want to tell you tonight, I can't save you. I can't save your children. I can't save anybody. But thank God I represent one. I am a representative of one that paid the price, that died on an old rugged cross and bought the right to redeem your soul and your children's soul and your family's soul out of an eternal hell. That is able to bring salvation to your family. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can't do it, but I know on the table. Now I want to tell you something, friend, and I'm going to tell you bluntly. The majority of the world's going to hell. I said the majority of the world's on their way to hell. You want to know why I preach so hard? You want to know why I preach so hard? I said, do you want to know why I preach so hard? Amen. Sometimes along the way, God gives me a revelation of what it's going to be like to be lost forever. Amen. Can you imagine the horror that will thrust through the soul of a man when he realizes that God has turned the finger of eternal accusation in his direction, and God is saying, not getting ready to say, amen, but God is saying, get them out of here, bind them hand and foot, and cast them into outer darkness. Can anybody in this building imagine the horror of hearing the words of God?
The only hope, the only remedy, the only tie to eternal life. Say never, never, never get them out of here. It's over. I'll never call them again. Their time is finished. Cast them into the pit. Angel brought their name out of the book. I never want to see them. I never want to remember them. I'll never hear another one of their prayers. Somebody in here ought to help me tonight. Amen. I'll never sing another preacher. I'll never open another revival door. I'll never have another pastor tell them. I'll never let another grandmother pray. I'll never let anybody raise a hand and offer another prayer request to them. It's over. It's over now. Amen. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me get a little bit off the track tonight and tell you, if you're a sinner, what you ought to do right now is leap to your feet and escape the flames of hell and run down that aisle to Jesus. His arms are open. He's extending love to you. He don't want you to go to hell. He's standing on the brink. He's waving the flag. Repent now while there's time and while there's opportunity. He's saying, now accept you. Later I'll judge you. We found convenient ways to dismiss the horrors of the thought of an eternity without God. We buy flowers for the funeral. We buy an expensive casket. We decorate them up and off somewhere in the hidden crevice of our mind, so distantly distorted, we rake up some little bit of hope of maybe at the last second they had chance to repent. You might as well help me now, God is. 99% of all mothers that die go to heaven by the mouth of their children. Probably 98% of all children that die go to heaven by the mouth of the mom. But I wonder about the book of life. What kind of statistics does it hold? What kind of percentages is there? Somebody help me preach tonight. We have a pretty funeral. We say our last respects. We ride them in a shiny car. Amen. We do everything nice, and then somehow in the middle of all of that pomp and festive again, we go back and have a little get-together and eat ham and cheese sandwiches, great punch and iced tea. Amen. Have sliced cake in a big time. And before the funeral's even over, we're laughing and telling jokes again, thinking surely death won't knock at my door, thinking surely I'm all right. Amen. And I'm going to have plenty of time. But the death angel stalks every last soul, waiting for one split second, a breakdown in the barrier and the protection of God. Somebody might as well say amen. And I want to tell you right now, you're only one heartbeat out of hell. I said you're only one heartbeat out of hell. In all the funerals in the world, a million bouquets of flowers, it won't cool the flames of where you're going. It don't matter how many preachers you get to preach, you made it. If your fire is out, God, you're in a devil's hell, and there's no way out. There is no remedy. There.
preaching on it won't make it go away. Carrying bouquets of pretty gospel flowers to church every Sunday, it won't cool the flames of hell. Getting somebody to tell you, all right, living like you are, it doesn't change it. The flames of hell are kindled by an eternal spark that God set into motion. Amen. I don't care if you get 100 preachers with their collars turned around backwards. Amen. Robes whooping halfway down the aisle. They can light candles till they wear their fingers out. Amen. They can pay homage to every kind of idol they can think of. They can finger the rosary until the beads fall off. Amen. They can take your money and lie to you. Tell you somebody you're in purgatory. Brother, you don't get to heaven by one hand and in a foot a week later. Amen. You don't make it to heaven. Amen. Get your head in this month and pay the old priest a little and get your leg in next month. The Bible said as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. As a man falleth before wicked men, David said to Adonai, tossed thou, thy hands were not bound and thy feet were not in fetters. You went the way you wanted to. You died like an idiot. You died like a fool. And you're in hell now. And there ain't no way out. I'm going to tell you something, saints of God, somebody ought to be helping me by now. We even got so we tell jokes about funerals. I've been guilty of it myself. But I think we ought to quit it. And I think we ought to have a revival that'll get us a burden for the lost again. I don't think caskets and hearses are anything to laugh about. I don't think they're anything to joke about. And making the thought of death light ain't going to help you a bit, neighbor. Somebody help me preach tonight. Have you got any idea how many loved ones you've got right now are going to spend their eternity in hell? Picture in your mind tonight while this homeless preacher preaches the person you love the most. I've got a brother that's 40 years old, the only brother I've got, a backslider and away from God. And there are times when all of a sudden, brother, I get an image in my mind. Oh, somebody help me. Amen. I wonder what my brother, and I imagine in my mind what my brother's going to look like. Amen. When he is thrown by the angels of God's rejection into the lake of fire, where the fire is a million times hot enough to melt the flesh off of your bones. Amen. But it won't happen. You'll only be there late. I think about what my brother's going to look like, how he's going to scream for one more chance of mercy. But he was raised in a house where his daddy taught him right and his mama taught him right. I want to tell you, if you go to hell, you'll go on your own. If you go to hell, you'll go because you made your mind up to reject the call of God. Somebody help me preach tonight. Somebody say amen. If you go to hell, you'll climb over top of this country, boy. If you go to hell, you'll climb over top of every prayer mother's ever prayed for you. If you go to hell, you'll climb over every message Brother Jones has ever preached, Brother Farmer's ever preached. If you go to hell, it won't be easy. You'll go on purpose. You got any relatives lost? Who's the person dearest to you that's lost? Your mother. Tonight, think about it. Think about it. Your mama in the judgment. While we're living here on this earth, everything seems to be pretty much the same. Everything seems to be pretty. The devil doesn't want us to look beyond it. That's why so many of you are sitting around like lumps on logs, letting your loved ones go to hell, not doing a thing about it. I'm going to preach to you before I leave here tonight. Amen. Think about your mama standing before the judgment of God, which could happen very soon. What she would look like and the horror that would write her face. The woman you love so much. As she heard those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. If we could see her disappear in the blackness of hell and the flames that wait to accept those that reject the gospel. Amen. Then I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. If you had that image for 10 minutes in your mind, Brother Wayne, you tell me I'm not doing enough to win Mama to God. I'm not saying that. You understand? I'm telling myself the same thing. I'm just not doing enough to win. Amen. My Mama to God. Hallelujah. Your loved ones are going to hell. I said your loved ones are going to hell. How many have already died and you buried them and you can put some out of your mind? And what about the ones that remain? You know what? The church is one of the sorriest institutions for winning the lost right now.
that I've ever seen in my life. God help me. If somebody will help me out, preach a while. Now, you don't put this in your sermon, Lowbray, because I'm not that good a preacher. Amen, but if I can get it in your mind, if I can get it in your heart, I don't care if it's chronologically arranged. I don't care if it matches Spurgeon's outlines. If I can get it in your mind and wake you up tonight to realize that you are the light of the world. You're the only light the world's got. Somebody help me preach. We're doing a pitiful and pathetic job to win the lost. 3, 4, 5, 6 a year, maybe. Even 10 or 12. Throw me right in there with all the rest of them. I'm as guilty as anybody. Amen. I'm going to make a statement to you that may rock your bone a little bit. Amen. But a lot of times I believe I've got myself carried away in one area of ministry and I forgot to deal with the lost. Amen. But I don't believe you're worth the salt in your bread if your burden isn't number one for those that are lost without hope and those that are going to hell. If somebody will help me, I'll preach tonight. Amen. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care if you're a pastor. I believe our number one call of duty is to preach Jesus Christ, die, resurrected, and living again for a dying world. I believe in preaching holiness and warning the backslid generation. But I tell you the way I feel right now, many of them know what's right. They've already had their chance, and they rejected it on purpose. It's about time we turn the gospel to the ear of those that have never heard. Hallelujah! Those that are dying and have not heard the message. Wake up! Wake up! I said wake up! The world's going to hell! They're dying without hope! Somebody wake up!
Well, there's opportunity to win. $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 budget a year. $100,000 budget. $75,000, $150,000. I know where there's one church right now got $175,000 in their checking account. Big fabulous auditoriums. God, will you help me tonight? I'll just start all over and cover all that area in hell again. Amen, because some of you still ain't even began to wake up. You're just sitting there, and as soon as you dismiss, you're going to go home, be lied by like you was when you came. But I came tonight by the help of God to tell you it's about time we took a wild donkey to Jesus. It's about time we untied somebody that's tied. Hallelujah. And let them know that the God of mastery is, bring them to me. I don't care what they are. I don't care what kind of shape they're in. I don't care if they're good for anything. If you get them where I'm at, I'll get my hands on them. I'll make them something worthwhile. Hallelujah. I don't care if they're wild. I don't care if they're a dope addict. I don't care if they're a drunkard. I don't care if they're a hearted. Bring them here. Get them to me. If I can get a hold of them. Hallelujah. Jesus can do what Keith Powers never thought of doing. What amen, what Roger Jones can do. The Son of God can do the impossible. Wash away sin and make people new. Hallelujah. Raise them out of their dilemma. Right there in the Lamb's Book of Life. $100,000 budget. I say this respectfully. I say it with all due candor and love. Put me in it. I'm with all the rest of you preachers. We are doing a sorry job. Oh, I may preach a while. We are doing a sorry job. $100,000 budget a year, riding new cars and living in big houses. If I don't win more people to Jesus than I have in the past, he ought to take that big bus away from me. I don't deserve it. Amen. I don't think the gospel's made to pad your lining and give you luxury to lay around in. That's exactly what we've done, hoping that maybe by chance, once in a while, some stray sinner will stumble in. Amen. That's already made themselves so sick of sin, they'll go ahead and get saved, and then we'll stand up and smile and take the glory for it. How many people have you run to God because of your personal influence, because of the power of God in your life? Amen. How many of you led to the Master? Oh, Lord, how much I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me ask it another way. How many are going to go through your fingers and end up in hell people you've worked with, people you've gone to church with, people you played games with, sat up till midnight, amen, and played card games and Monopoly and drank Pepsi, amen. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just telling you how many that you're going to even call your personal friends are going to wind up in hell. Somebody said, oh, Brother Powers, are you to tell me that you're supposed to have any communication with sinners? Only if your motive is pure and upright and you've got one objective in mind. If you're circulating with sinners because you enjoy doing what they enjoy, you got trouble in your soul. Amen. But if you're circulating with sinners because you realize you got to get them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You realize you got to lead them to the Son of God because he hath knew you them. If you realize that in his hands they'll be made whole. Hallelujah. If that's why you're having fellowship with sinners, I bid you Godspeed. But if you're doing it to run the roller rink and the bowling alley and stay out late and have a beach party, God forbid, you're in as bad a shape as they are. The blind are leading the blind and they're all in the ditch. How about a revival? A Holy Ghost, God sent revival that only comes up and shows us that hell is engulfing our loved ones. I am preaching tonight, and I know it. How many people were saved in your church last year? You know I'm not picking on anybody. You know I'm not. I'm not doing that. I'm delivering what God laid on my heart. How many pie bakes did you have? Or whatever else. My dad has a 4th of July picnic for his church. You talk about zeal, buddy. They're out there. At daybreak, some of them throwing softballs and stomping around, wanting to get going. Hey, man, my dad's totally against and opposes any type of competitive sports, period. Amen. One time a year, the church gets together and has a big picnic. They throw a few softballs and bat them around. You talk about zeal, brother. My dad looked at me a couple of years ago. He said, one of these a year is all by far anybody ever needs. Amen. If you had 3, they'd be buying $1,000 worth of equipment to play 3 ball games a year. They'd mortgage their home to buy a high-priced pair of cleats and a fat padded softball mitt so they could get out there and strut their stuff. Amen. And show off. They're trying to bounce the ball at shortstop, hit it the furthest. You talk about, but they'll play till they almost fall down. Amen. Come up and get them a glass of Gatorade and snort back out there. Big old 40 and 50-year-old pot-bellied men ain't wanting to admit they're over the hill, ready to give up the game. They're trying to show off the flesh. You talk about zeal. Amen. I'm going to wipe the smile off of your face right now. But I'll tell you what bothers me when you tell them that our generation's going to hell by the multiplied millions. Come out Saturday night. We're going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to seek God for the lost. They tell every lie in the book to come up with an excuse as to why they can't make it. Amen, buddy. They can make it to the supper. They can make it to the ball game. But I want to tell you, a million times more important than the games we play is where somebody is going to spend their eternity. Oh, God, help this preacher boy to save the lost. Rescue the perishing. Give me a flag. Let me stand on the brink of eternal destruction and wave it with all of my might and turn the bridges out. Don't go that way. You'll die and not have any hope. Help me, God. Help me, God. Oh, help me, God.